Well, good evening, and thanks for coming out for our Good Friday service. We just had the opportunity to watch the Passion, and so we're coming into our scripture and singing time, and then we will end with communion. And we will start with Near the Cross. So if you'd like to pull out a hymnal, you may. It's 319. The words should also be on the screen. Tonight we're going to be reading a scripture summary of the events leading up to Christ's death on the cross. They will mostly be coming from Luke 22, if you want to follow along loosely, but there are some harmonies, some information from other gospels added in here and there. Luke 22, the festival of unleavened bread, which is called Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and scribes were looking for a way to put him to death because they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. He went away and discussed with the chief priests and temple police how he could hand him over to them. They were glad and agreed to give him silver, so he accepted the offer and started looking for a good opportunity to betray him to them when the crowd was not present. Then the day of unleavened bread came when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and make preparation for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked. "Listen," he said to them. "When you've entered the city, a man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters. Tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished room upstairs. Make preparations there." So they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover.
King of my life, I cry. About 9 p.m. Thursday evening, the Lord's Supper. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But look, the hand of the one betraying me is at the table with me. For the Son of Man will go away as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. So they began to argue among themselves which of them it could be who was going to do it. Later that evening, about midnight, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went out and made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he told them, pray that you may not fall into temptation. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and began to pray. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he got up from prayer and came to the disciples, he found them sleeping, exhausted from their grief. He asked them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you won't fall into temptation.
Let's stand.
Sinner. While he was still speaking, suddenly a mob came, and one of the 12 named Judas was leading them. He came near Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with a sword?" Then one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus responded, "No more of this." And touching his ear, he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priest, temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a criminal? Every day I was with you in the temple. You never laid a hand on me. But this is your hour and the dominion of darkness."
Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayal, sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation,
of soldiers, the commander, and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus and tied him up. First, they led him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be better for one man to die for the people. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus answered him. "I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jews gather, and I haven't spoken anything in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officials standing by slapped Jesus, saying, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" "If I have spoken wrongly," Jesus answered him, "give evidence about the wrong. But if rightly, why do you hit me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, and Peter sat among them. When a servant saw him sitting in the light and looked closely at him, she said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it. "Woman, I do not know him." After a little while, someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them too." "Man, I am not," Peter said. About an hour later, another kept insisting, "This man was certainly with him, since he's also Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you deny me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
And when daylight came, the elders of the people, both the chief and priest and the scribes, convened and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they could put him to death. They could not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two who came forward stated, "This man said, 'I can destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said to him, "Don't you have an answer to what these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you're the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said it," Jesus told him. "But I tell you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robe and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses?" "See, now you've heard the blasphemy. What is your decision?" They answered, "He deserved death." Then they spat in his face and beat him. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who was it that hit you?" And they were saying many other blasphemous things to him.
With sorrow.
Then their whole assembly rose up and brought him before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation, opposing payment of taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Pilate then told the chief priest and the crowds, "I find no grounds for charging this man." But they kept insisting, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee, where he started, even to here." When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man was a Galilean. Finding that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. For a long time, he had wanted to see him because he had heard about him and was hoping to see some miracle performed by him. So he kept asking him questions, but Jesus did not answer him. The chief priest and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt, mocked him, dressed him in bright clothing, and sent him back to Pilate. Pilate called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You have brought me this man as one who misleads the people. But in fact, after examining him in your presence, I have found no grounds to charge this man with those things that you accuse him of. Neither has Herod, because he has sent him back to us. Clearly, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will have him whipped and then release him." Then they all cried out together, "Take this man away. Release Barabbas for us." He had been thrown into prison for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time, he said to them, "Why? What has this man done wrong? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him whipped and then release him." But they kept up the pressure, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and their voices won out. So Pilate decided to grant their demand and released the one they were asking for, who had been thrown into prison for rebellion and murder. But he handed Jesus over to their will.
just before 9 a.m. Friday morning. As they led him away, they seized Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, and laid the cross on him to carry behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed him, including women who were mourning and lamenting him. Two others, criminals, were also led away to be executed with him. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, a part for each soldier. They also took the tunic, which was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who gets it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing." This is what the soldiers did. An inscription was above him, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other one answered, rebuking him, "Don't you even fear God, since you are undergoing the same punishment? We are punished justly, because we're getting back what we deserve for the things we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Sinful men. noon on Friday. From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over the whole land. Just before 3 p.m. on Friday. And about 3 p.m, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, "My God, why have you abandoned me?" My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry by day, but you do not answer by night, yet I have no rest. But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you. They trusted and you rescued them. They cried to you and they were set free. They trusted in you and were not disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by people. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads. He relies on the Lord. Let him save him. Let the Lord rescue him, since he takes pleasure in him. It was you who brought me out of the womb, making me secure at my mother's breast. I was given over to you at birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Don't be far from me, because distress is near and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong ones of Bashan encircle me. They open their mouths against me, lions mauling and roaring. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are disjointed. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up like baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You put me into the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A gang of evildoers has closed in on me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People look and stare at me. They divided my garments among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing. But you, Lord, don't be far away. My strength, come quickly to help me. Rescue my life from the sword, my only life from the power of these dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of wild ox. You answered me. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you in the assembly. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. All you descendants of Israel, revere him. For he has not despised or abhorred the torment of the oppressed. He didn't hide his face from him, but listened when he cried for help. I will give praise in the great assembly because of you. I will fulfill my vows before those who fear you. The humble will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules the nations. All who prosper on earth will eat and bow down. All those who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Even the one who cannot preserve his life, their descendants will serve him. The next generation will be told about the Lord. They will come. They will declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born. They will declare what he has finished.
wondrous love is this, O my soul. What wondrous love is this that calls the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul.
Scoffing. He saved others. Let him save himself if this is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him. After this, Jesus knew that everything was now finished. That the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I'm thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was sitting there, so they fixed a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it up to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. The curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. Saying this, he breathed his last. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. When the centurion saw what happened, he began to glorify God, saying, This man really was righteous. All the crowds that had gathered for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, they went home, striking their chests. But all who knew him, including the women who followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Sacrifice that saved my life is the
About 4 p.m. on Friday, there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, a member of the Sanhedrin who had not agreed with their plan and action. He was from Arimathea, a Judean town, and was looking forward to the kingdom of God. He approached Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Taking it down, he wrapped it in fine linen and placed it in a tomb cut into the rock, where no one had ever been placed. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed along and observed the tomb and how his body was placed. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
Actually sing this song. I'm going to sing a song for you.
Only Jesus. Only He brings redemption full and free. Thank you. life has crushed and cast aside, and redeems till heaven's promise fills with joy the once empty eyes. So desire to tell the story of a love.
We're going to turn to the communion table. And even though we just took it Sunday, Christ said, take this in remembrance of me. And that's what we're doing tonight. And as you take the bread, as Joel will so often remind us, we're not declaring that you're a member of this church or that you regularly attend here. You're not saying I'm a person who's made a decision necessarily even, but you're declaring I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been transformed. I've been made a new creation through Christ's sacrifice. I've asked Danny to help me to distribute the elements. We'll distribute them, and then we will take them together. took the bread, and he broke it, and he blessed it, and he gave it to them. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body in remembrance of me." Later in the meal, he took a cup, and he blessed it, and he gave it to them. He said, "This is my blood poured out for you."
The cross where mercy paid
Set. The tomb would be closed, and it's Friday, but there's Sunday to look forward to. Joel, will you dismiss us in prayer?
Father, we humble ourselves as we think of your Son. Humiliation, discouraging, crucifixion, the separation. My God, why have you forsaken me? The cry, it is finished. Oh, Father, we are humbled by such. May we be further humbled, further awed by this wondrous love, this wondrous. Father, we thank you for the whole weekend. Good Friday, the cross, and that Sunday morning where the angel said, he's not here. He's risen. Father, thank you for the hope of the gospel, the glory of the gospel. We glory in Jesus.